We're celebrating Mother's Day, so I want to talk to you about one of the mothers of the Bible, Mrs. Zebedee. If you were listening to what was read, the scripture reading this morning, you'll see a cool story there. And it kind of comes across when you read it for the first time, at least when I read it for the first time, that Mrs. Zebedee just kind of overstepped her bounds. She didn't know what she was talking about. But I disagree with that. Now that I've looked at the story a little closer, I think Miss Zebedee did a lot of things right. And there's a lot of mothers out here that want to know what to do and how to be the right kind of mom for their kids. Amen? And some of you you've got grown kids. Let me say this to you, for those of you who are younger mothers, you never stop being a mother. Never. I am old as dirt, and my mom still wants to treat me like I'm 12 when I call her. It's just the way it is. Mothers never stop being mothers, and if you're a mother here today and your children are grown, you keep on treating them like they're 12 years old, because a lot of us need that. Amen? So let's look at the lesson today. I want you to see what she did right. Number one, she came to Jesus. She came to Jesus. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons. Now, I know you probably have a hard time believing this, but Nancy prays a lot more than I do. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of times I know she's praying because she had just left the room to get away from me. If you lived with me, you would be praying all the time too. So she prays all the time. But one of the greatest things that she did before our kids were born, when she knew that she was pregnant and we didn't determine whether we were going to have boys or girls, we didn't know beforehand it was going to be a surprise, but she started praying the day that she found out that she was pregnant. And one of the greatest joys that we have had in watching our kids grow up is that when we saw both of our sons marry their wives, we had the opportunity to go to them and say, we've been praying for you before we ever met you. You see, when you bring your kids to Jesus, that is the very first step in this. Number two, she worshiped Jesus. She worshiped Jesus. It says, kneeling down. I love the fact that it says kneeling down, because a lot of times I think when we think of worship, we think of it as very cerebral. It's stuff we do in our heads when we worship. But I got to tell you, sometimes when it comes to worship, we need to stand up. Amen? And sometimes we need to sit down. Amen? And sometimes we need to get on our knees. One of the most significant things that I've ever seen was I saw a guy that was very godly, and he was in a meeting and he was very frustrated with what was going on, and they decided to stop the meeting for a few minutes because people were getting heated, and I went to find him to bring him back to the meeting, and he was literally praying with laying down with his face on the ground praying to God to get through the situation that they were going through at the time. The reason why I'm telling you that is because, you know, when I was growing up, when we were teaching our kids, we taught them to fold their hands, because sometimes worship is more about the physical presence that you put yourself in front of God than just the mental state that you're in. So she worshiped. And one of the things you need to understand too, mothers and fathers particularly, some things are more caught than taught. So what you're doing when you're worshiping, how you're worshiping, will determine how your kids are worshiping. And if you're here today and you say your spouse is not worshiping like you do, keep doing what you're doing, because guess what? Some things are more caught than taught. So when we get before our children, one of the things that we want to do is we want to make sure that they see us worship Jesus. Number three, she asked Jesus. She asked a favor of him. It says in James chapter 4, you don't have because you don't ask. I think sometimes when it comes to prayers, we just kind of already determine what the outcome of things are going to be. We've already decided this is what God has planned, this is how things are going to work out, and that our prayers are not going to mean that much. As a matter of fact, there was a friend of mine, he's passed now, but he used to say to me all the time, Neil, why pray? Because God's already got it already determined. And I would tell him that is not true. And I gave him Old Testament examples of where people prayed and God changed his mind about what was going to happen. God is all-knowing, God is all-seeing, and he is omnipresent. But we have an advocate that we can go to him, that we can ask favors of him. And you know, when I was growing up, one of the things that I heard this, you know, if you need something, you ask God. He's going to give it to you. And I remember as a nine-year-old kid praying for God to give me a bicycle with those banana handles on it. And I prayed, I prayed every day for at least 3 days because I was committed to this. And guess what? I never got a bicycle with banana handles. So if someone wants to make all of my dreams come true, you can get me that bicycle I was praying for back then. I'm just kidding. Nancy won't let me ride it because she thinks I'm going to get a Harley after that. But the thing of it is sometimes we pray for things and God doesn't answer us, and we just quit asking. And parents, moms, don't stop asking Jesus for your favor. It may be a child that you want to come to know the Lord. It may be an illness that you're dealing with. It may be something that's going on with your child. But don't be scared to ask Jesus. Number four, she wanted her children to be a part of God's kingdom. She wanted her children to be a part of God's kingdom. Now, when I was growing up, one of the things that my dad never said but insisted on privately, and it was in everything that he said to us in a roundabout way, one of the things that my dad wanted for me and my brothers is for us to be preachers. I mean, it was just kind of the way it was. As a matter of fact, he thought that if I went to Freed Hardeman College, then I would become a preacher. He just thought that's the way that worked. And when I got ready to go off to school, he came to me and he says, Neil, you're paying your own way to school. You know that. And I'm like, yes, sir, I know that. He says, so you've got to make a good choice. And I will tell you this, son, you can go to any college you want in the entire world because you're paying for it. But you can only go to Freed Hardeman. Because he thought, if I can get him to Freed Hardeman, he can become a preacher. But you know, I have two sons, and people ask me, do your kids, either one of them, you think either one of them will ever preach? I don't know, and I don't care. You know what I'm concerned about? Is that they are a part of the kingdom of God. That's all I care about. I've got my younger son called me the other day, and he says, Neil, or he said, he didn't call me Neil. That would be disrespectful. He says, Dad, he says, I need some advice here. He says, I've been asked to go on this mission trip with the church that we attend, me and Aaron going, and you know, we were planning on a vacation to go do this, but it would take the time to do that, and he's telling me all about it, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, had I ever known that my kids would be wanting to do mission trips in their 30s, I would have been so excited when they were younger. I have two sons that are in the kingdom of God, and I don't care what they do for a living. One of them works for a big law firm. The other one works as IT for a church. Both of them have good jobs and they're doing well because they quit asking me for money a long time ago. But what it is I don't care what they do as long as they're a part of God's kingdom. You see, sometimes we worry more about GPAs and MVPs. We want our kids to have this medal. We want them to have this certificate. We want to have these letters behind their names. But the most important thing that you can ask for your kids is that they are a part of God's kingdom. Because all the things of this world will go away. Let me say that again so you understand it. All of the things of this world are going to go away. All the money that we have, all the homes we have, all the cars that we drive, even the clothes that we wear is going to go away someday. Now, I think we ought to prepare our children for the future, but more importantly, we need to prepare our children for eternity. Because what's going to be so significant here will mean nothing in eternity. She wanted her children to be a part of God's kingdom. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit in your kingdom. Number five, she wanted the best for her children. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. There is nothing wrong with wanting the best for your kids. Amen? But what is the best for your kids? That's sitting right next to Jesus. That is the best place. That is the best thing you can do for your children is to have them be beside our Lord and Savior. And I know this concept is just really foreign to a lot of us. We culturally in the church, we know our Bibles, we know what the Bible says, and we may even be able to quote scripture, but the key to what is best for our children is that they're able to walk next to Jesus. They're able to sit down at night and sit next to Jesus. You want the best for your children? Get them a seat at the table with Jesus. Now, she was wanting something worldly when it came to what she was asking for. She was wanting one of them to be first in command and the other one to be second in command. And there's nothing wrong with us wanting our children to excel and have positions of prominency. But the real key to this is are your children sitting next to Jesus? You see, in God's kingdom, in God's way of doing things, it doesn't matter what seat you have. There's not a first or last. It's just being next to Jesus. I wish that there was some way that when I was growing up, this concept was taught to me differently. It was taught to me that I needed to do this and do that. And if you were going to be a faithful member of the church, you needed to be here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then you needed to be here on Wednesday night. And all of these things that go about the dues that I needed to do in order to be a Christian. And I wish somebody would have said to me when I was younger, it's more about being with Jesus than doing for Jesus. Because I can do and I can do and I can do, but I can't have that relationship with Jesus unless I'm sitting next to him. I love my friend who called me and he says, Neil, I don't know how to pray. Please teach me how to pray. And I said, well, let's just start off with just one sentence at a time. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, what are you going through right now? And he told me, and I said, well, just pray this one sentence. And I said, when you go to meal tonight And before you eat, just say, God, thank you for this food. When you go to bed at night, I want you to just, instead of trying to figure out how to pray like me, I just want you to give him one sentence. Thank you for this day. Please give me a good night's rest. And several years later, we were talking. We don't live anywhere close to each other anymore, but several years later, he called me. We were talking, and I said, do you remember when you called me and asked me how to pray? And he says, yes. And I said, have you gotten better at it? Or, how do you feel about it now? And he says, well, Neil, I'm still doing what you told me to do. I'm doing these one-sentence prayers. He says, but I'm doing them all day long. I have a running conversation with our Lord all day long. You see, that's what's best for us, is when we can have those conversations. Well, Jesus responds to what she says, and she says, letter A, following Jesus isn't easy. Following Jesus isn't easy. He said to them, will you indeed drink from my cup? But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. But these places belong for those whom have been prepared for by my Father. Now, I want you to see this, because you probably, just generally like I was when I was growing up, I got these little stories and little snippets. I didn't get the big picture like it was meant to be read when you're reading a book of the Bible. But if you look at this story in light of the scripture, you'll see before this happens, the third time Jesus comes to them, and he says in Matthew 20, 17 through 19, now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and he said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. There are so many times when I read the scriptures, I want to know the context. I want to know what happened. But if you look at the scripture in light of the scripture before it, he is telling them he's going to be crucified. And then they ask him, well, I want to sit at the right hand and the left hand. They didn't have it in their mind what was about to happen, although he was said three times. Parents, have you ever said, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times? Well, you haven't, but that's a nice lie you can tell your kids. But Jesus could say, if I've told you once, I've told you 3 times. I'm going to be crucified. So what Jesus is saying here, he says, following Jesus isn't easy. It's not easy. I love when somebody wants to be baptized. I absolutely love it when somebody wants to declare their faith to the world and they want to live a Christ-like life. I absolutely love it. But I always want to stop him and I want him to say, do you know how hard this is going to be? Because what we don't really understand is when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you crucify your desires and your wishes in order to live for Christ. It is the hardest life you can possibly live on this earth. But guess what? It's the best life you can live. It's the only life that's going to give you eternal life. You see, being a Christian in today's world is not easy. I remember when my kids were teenagers and they were going off to high school, and I had to have this talk with them about girls and how things have changed. I said to both of them, I said, look, I know what's out there. I've seen these cute little girls, and you know, I have some handsome boys. They take after their father. Handsome boys. And I said, what's going to happen when you get to school? you're going to have these girls that are going to come up to you, and they're going to love on you, and they're going to rub on you, and you're going to start feeling things that you hadn't felt before. And I'm going to just tell you, when that starts happening, you need to stop. And the reason why you need to stop is because what's going to happen if you don't stop is you're going to end up in an intimate situation with one of these girls, and more than likely, you're going to become a baby's daddy. And what seems good at the moment is going to follow you for the next rest of your life. And I said, I have seen it happen over and over again where high school students get involved with each other. Somebody gets pregnant, they have a child, and then they're stuck with that person for the rest of their life. And I told both my boys, if you have a child, you're going to man up. And that child's going to be a part of our life because that child is going to be a part of your life. Unfortunately, my boys made good decisions as far as that goes, at least as far as I know, and I keep on telling myself that. But here's the thing that I want you to really get. Going through this life as a Christian, as a Christ follower, living your life for Christ and not for yourself is not an easy task. And we need to remember that. Look at what it says here. I got a quote from Thomas Kempis. Jesus had many lovers of his kingdom, but few bearers of his cross. All desire to rejoice with him. Few are willing to suffer sorrow for his sake. Many follow Jesus unto the breaking of the bread, but few to the drinking of his bitter cup. The next response Jesus has, he says, teach your children to become servants. Teach your children to become servants. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lowered it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. One of the things that as I was writing this, I got to thinking about, and I wish I'd have put it in your notes, but one of the things that I got to thinking about last night particularly was Acts 2 and verse 45 when the church just started. If you're not familiar with Acts 2, it's the day of Pentecost. It's this when church started. And when church started the day of Pentecost, one of the things it says in there, it says they sold their possessions and gave to anyone who had need. And I want you to, if you get a chance, go back and underline that anyone. Because I believe for the longest time when we're talking about anyone, it was talking about anyone in the church. But I don't think that was the case. I think they sold their property and they gave it to other people who had needs. There were all these people that were there in Jerusalem. Most of them had come from other areas. They had basically spent all their resources because they had heard about what had happened with Jesus and they were trying to figure things out. So there were people going around hungry, and the early church sold their property, sold things so that they could give to anyone who has needs. And then if you skip down, it says after that, and the Lord added to the church. You see, I think a lot of times when it comes to church, we think if we have the right preacher, then the church is going to grow. If we have the right program, then the church is going to grow. If we can get the right techniques on evangelizing, the church is going to grow. You know when the church is going to grow? Is when we start being servants. When we quit being superior, judgmental people and we start becoming servants. That's when the church is going to grow. I'm going to just tell you right now, you cannot hire a better preacher than me. That's what Nancy's been telling me all along, so I believe her. Seriously. Your preacher, no matter who you hire, is not going to grow the church. The church is going to grow the church. Now, I know most of you in here have reservations for lunch because it's Mother's Day and that's what you do. I don't want to keep you here too long. But I do want you to think about this. I want you to think about the fact that we're going to sing an invitation song. So my son called me and he's talking about going to Turkey for 2 weeks, 1 week to travel and another week to do mission work. And he says, Dad, I just don't know if this is a good use of my resources because I'm going to be spending a lot of money. And I said, well, what are they going to have you do? And he said, well, basically I'm going to play soccer with some kids and teach them some English because they're wanting to start an English school there to teach kids English as a part of an outreach for this mission effort. And I said to him, I said, I can understand why you don't think that's a good use of your resources because you're a smart guy, you got a lot going on, and you know, you could probably send somebody over there for less money to play with kids and play soccer. But I said to him, let me pray about this and we'll talk some more. And so as I was driving, I was praying about it, and it came over the radio, and I wasn't paying attention to what it was, but I did hear these words come over the radio: you must be present to win. And so I texted my son and I said, if you go on this trip, because Dad quit telling him what to do a long time ago, he's just like me, he doesn't listen to anybody. I said, if you go, make sure you're present. And I told him about what I heard on the radio. And as I got to thinking about that, I got to be thinking about our worship service today. And I know Nancy and I have got reservations for lunch. I know several other of you do. And I got up this morning, we're going to someplace nice for lunch. I'm not telling you where because I don't want you to come and bother me. But we're going someplace nice for lunch. We're going to have a nice lunch with some friends. And we've got reservations. And I woke up this morning thinking about how good that food's going to be, because it's going to be good. And I know some of you probably got up thinking about that. You got to go get flowers. You got to go do this, whatever it is you're going to do today. But if you're here and you worshiped, you're going to leave here changed. But the problem with a lot of us is we're not present. And you must be present to win. We sing this invitation song every week. It's a part of our tradition. And every time we sing this invitation song, I wish I had the right words to get you to think about what this is about. Because growing up, I had this idea that only bad people like Austin Drake needed to come forward. And they would ask for prayers. And you know, sometimes, as a kid, I'm going to just tell you, sometimes there would be two or three people would come forward on Sunday morning. I'd get so upset because that meant we're going to be here for another 20 minutes. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that it's a song of encouragement for you to take a moment, see where you are in your walk with God, see if there's something you need to change, see if there's sin that needs to be repented of, see if you need to make that commitment to Christ and be buried with Him in baptism. All of that, when we sing this song, you must be present to win. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.